very clear to us that there cannot be a military solution to this conflict. It has to be a political solution.
Israel puts pressure on Palestinians after yesterday's double suicide bombing.
Today is Monday, January 6th. It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
Also in this hour, the target of yesterday's bombs, a neighborhood of struggling immigrants.
Arms inspectors still searching for hard evidence in Iraq.
Researchers trek to the South Pole for the first time in 45 years.
Driving While Black, a look at one state's racial disparities in police traffic stops and searches.
And remembering life with father when dad happens to be an ex-con.
When my father was my age, he was in a real big-time maximum security prison.
We used to drink wine together. We'd buy wine. You could buy pills. So we'd get some pills and wine on Saturday night and go to a movie. It was fun.
First, this roundup of the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corey Flintoff. House Democrats presented their proposal today for revving up the national economy. They did so on the eve of the opening session of the 108th Congress and the day before President Bush is expected to lay out his own proposal for an economic stimulus. NPR's David Wellner reports from the Capitol.
Even though they'll be the minority in the House, the Democrats insisted theirs is a plan that the Republican majority should seriously consider. Its $136 billion price tag is almost entirely for measures over the next year, including a $300 rebate for all taxpayers. It would double to $50,000 the amount firms can write off this year for business investments. Democrat John Spratt of South Carolina is the chief author of the plan.
It is short-term stimulus, long-term balance. And that's what you'll find lacking in the proposal the president makes tomorrow.
The president is to unveil a stimulus plan in Chicago costing up to $600 billion over the next decade. Its main feature is the elimination of taxes on stock dividends. It would also speed up scheduled tax cuts. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
The State Department is rejecting charges that UN weapons inspectors are spying on Iraq. Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein accused the inspectors of gathering intelligence for the United States. Spokesman Richard Boucher said the charges are untrue and may be an attempt to divert attention from Iraq's failure to comply with the UN. The UN's nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency, decided today to give North Korea one more chance to abandon its nuclear weapons programs before the agency reports North Korea to the UN Security Council. The IAEA approved a resolution urging the North to meet its obligations under international nuclear accords. NPR's Vicky O'Hara reports.
The decision by the board of the IAEA averts for the moment a showdown between the UN and the Kim Jong-il government in Pyongyang. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher welcomed the IAEA decision.
We think it's very important that the whole board, a group of 35 countries that represent a broad cross-section of the international community, the whole board agreed on this unanimously by consensus.
The Bush administration, which is preoccupied with Iraq, says it wants a diplomatic solution to the nuclear standoff on the Korean Peninsula. The U.S. is discussing how to achieve that in talks underway at the State Department with Japan and South Korea. South Korea reportedly has a proposal that calls for concessions by both the U.S. and North Korea. Vicky O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.
Stock prices closed higher today on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrials gained 172 points, or 2%, to close at 8,773 in heavy trading. The NASDAQ Composite Index gained 34 points, or 2.5%. It closed at 1,421. The S&P 500 gained 20 points to close at 929. This is NPR News. In California, Democratic Governor Gray Davis was sworn in today for his second term. Davis promised to revive the state's ailing economy by creating 500,000 jobs. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports.
Davis's swearing-in kicks off a week of inaugural activities during which he hopes to convince Californians that he has a plan to bridge a nearly $35 billion budget deficit. Massive cuts in education and spending for the poor are expected, and Davis is likely to call for a tax increase later this week when he delivers his State of the State address. In his inaugural speech, Davis did not provide concrete details of his budget plans. However, he pledged to accelerate school and road construction with voter-approved bond money, and he proposed to eliminate regulatory hurdles for small business. In keeping with the state's frugal atmosphere, Davis's inaugural celebration is a barbecue-style party where jeans are favored over tuxedos. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.
A passenger train slammed into a truck today at a crossing in Burbank, California, killing the truck driver and injuring more than 30 commuters aboard the train. Witness Tanya Aguilar said the driver ignored warning signs at the crossing.
I started honking to try to get his attention, and he went right into the train. There's no way he could have not known that the train was coming. The gates were completely down. The train was, I could see the train. You could see it. You could hear it. The whistles were blowing.
The train was on its way to downtown Los Angeles this morning when the crash occurred. Officials say two of the train cars derailed, but none of the passengers aboard appeared to have life-threatening injuries. Metrolink officials say that the limited train service through Burbank has now been resumed. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Washington.